everybody. The car show. I'm on the eve of moving. The eve. I move tomorrow. And I've been going back and forth all day whether or not I was going to go over tonight after work. It's 9 p.m. and do a little cleaning. Because the people who left our place didn't leave it ideal. Or possibly some more moving. And I decided to not do that. This probably sounds like total bullshit, but I promise you that it's not. I think I have a problem of I'm not very good at just like... when I know I have a thing coming tomorrow, I just want it to happen today. Like, I just want to do it now and get it over with, right? And I'm not very good at, you know, killing the mind and just saying, like, hey, it's cool, we'll do it tomorrow. And we totally will, and it will get done, and it's going to be great. And so I think I've decided not to go over there tonight and to sort of challenge myself to not get too worked up about it. How I'm going to do that, I'm not sure, but maybe I'll do a podcast. So, as discussed on this show, I have my Kickstarter project, which is a review of Tyra Banks' Model Land, which made it through. I raised $100 and have begun reviewing Model Land. The first section is up on the website for your reading pleasure. And I think I'm going to do a little podcast part about it here, too. So I don't think I'll be repeating too much. Maybe a little. So alternative formats, but just to cover the material. I've never done a Kickstarter project before. Like, I've thought about it. But here's the thing. Like, I don't know. You could put up, oh, helpful snowman radio. I want money. And here's how much I spent on all the equipment and stuff like that. But let's be honest. The ongoing cost of this is not, like, super high. It's the hosting cost, and it's my time. So I guess if I wanted someone to pay me for my time for this, I would do that. But on the other hand, I think I have fun doing the radio show. And then I also feel like if people paid for it, there would be an expectation behind that. And I think I'm worried I wouldn't meet that expectation. Which, honestly, it probably wouldn't be such a bad thing to go into this thinking, like, people are going to expect, like, an actual show, goddammit. Like, how am I going to ever cope with that? And then to say to yourself, like, well, maybe you should figure that shit out, huh? But here we are. here's something I didn't know about Kickstarter. Anyway, like, Kickstarter has its good and its bad. Okay, like, I don't know how familiar everyone is with the different forms of Kickstarter and what you can do and can't do. And the thing is, it's kind of arbitrary anyway, because there's certain... like, I think you can't raise charity money and stuff like that, but, you know, you can just use Indiegogo or GoFundMe or what... there's, you know, a million. Basically, for everything that Kickstarter doesn't do, a new site opens specifically to do that. To be like, hey, did you want to do this on Kickstarter? Pay for some little bald kid's cancer? Some little kid who's going to die, you want to give him some cash? Come over to this, GoFundBaldy.com or whatever. So, I started a Kickstarter to reread Model Land. And this involves, you know, connecting your bank account. You have to come up with incentives or things for people, which I guess you don't have to do, but it seems fun. I tried to come up with ones that I don't think are actually going to cost anything, not because I'm a bastard. I read this whole thing about how a lot of Kickstarters fail because they promise incentives to donate at certain levels that by the time they meet the incentives, the donation is practically worthless. I work for this nonprofit sometimes, Denver Rights. I volunteer there, and I donated to their thing, and they had these cool t-shirts, which I got, and it's way too small. I don't know how, like, I thought men's medium we had down. Like, I thought men's medium was men's medium was men's medium, and we were just pretty much all on the same page. I was wrong. I was incorrect in that assumption. We do not have men's medium down. we have about 500 different men's mediums to get down with your bad self. So anyway, it's a tiny shirt. And it was a waste of money. And also, I was kind of like, well, I like this shirt. It'd be cool to have this shirt. And I also thought, well, this would be a good thing to wear when I come to this to maybe look a little more official. Because I tend to just show up in a t-shirt and jeans that are whatever t-shirt and jeans I will wear that day. And sometimes wonder, like, oh, God, do I just look like some guy wandered down here? Do I look like I know anything about anything based on this, quote-unquote, uniform that I found for myself? The answer is no, but I wear it nonetheless. I like it. So I wondered, though, because my donation wasn't huge. I think it was like $30, and they had a custom t-shirt. There you go. I mean, I don't know. That's got to be $10 on the cheap side, right? So you just, I don't know, you get rid of a third of your donations. Anyway, you have to come up with these incentives. Now, here's what I didn't know about Kickstarter. Here's, like, the biggest thing that I didn't know that I guess I shouldn't have been surprised by, but I was. When you start a Kickstarter, within the first 24 hours, you'll probably get 5 pieces of spam of people being like, I can help you with your Kickstarter. Or, like, let me kickstart your Kickstarter. Or here's how you get donations. Or even some spammers, what they'll do is donate $1 to your Kickstarter and then tell you, like, hey, visit my website and stuff and see how to get even more backers. And then, I don't know, I guess people do. And then they retract their dollar, you know, a couple hours later. And there's even, so like, at first I thought, I got one that I was sure was spam. And then I got this other one, and it was someone who had donated $1 and was like, hey, this is so cool. I can't believe nobody's thought of this before. Well, okay. And so they were going through. And now, when I say it out loud into this microphone, understand something. I think I sound like a fucking idiot. That I say, oh yeah, someone got on this Kickstarter thing, and they were like, what a good idea. No one's ever done this good of an idea before. And I totally believed that. Like, I understand. I sound like a fucking idiot right now when I say that to you into this microphone. When I say it out loud, knowing what I know now, knowing that these spams are a thing, I feel very dumb. But at the time, at first, I thought, like, oh, this is cool, man. Someone likes this project. They think it's fun. They think it's funny. Just more spam. I did not know that Kickstarter spam was a thing. Like, every kind of spam out there is kind of surprising to me. I mean, as much as I didn't know that Kickstarter spam was a thing, it's not like I was very close to donating $1 to this other guy, or I don't even know what his plan was in trying to hook me. Like, if it's a phishing scam, I don't know that he was trying to pull me into the boat and eat me, or catch and release and take a picture, or what. Like, I don't know what his purpose was. All I know is I was tricked, but I was tricked into just feeling tricked. That was the extent of my being tricked, was me thinking, ah, son of a bitch, they got me. But anyway, through donations of friends and family, I made it. Special thanks to all who donated. That's fantastic. So here's the thing. I tried to read Modelland before. I tried, and by that I mean I really probably read, I think I read maybe a third of it, would be my estimation or my remembrance. But honestly, I might have just cracked 100 and some pages out of 600. I know it's a thick book, but I didn't really remember it was that long. You know, you see these long books, think, holy shit. But it is long, man. And it is crazy. And I probably cracked 100 and some pages, maybe 200. And that was over the course of a year, where I would read 25 in a sitting and then not touch it for months and then read another 25. Like, that's about where I was at with Tyra Banks' Modelland. That's about how much I could tolerate in one go, I guess, would be the way to put it. It's a rough book. It is so fucking crazy. Like, here's the one thing about Modelland. This is the credit I want to give Tyra Banks. I have no doubt in my mind that Tyra Banks wrote this book. Like, there is nothing in it that leads me to believe that this was ghostwritten. Because if this was ghostwritten, the only, like, justification I could find or think of for that being ghostwritten is that someone really hated Tyra Banks and they wanted to make her look insane. And so when she was like, ghostwrite me this book, and just threw out the basic premise, that someone was like, I'll fucking show you, dumb. Show you that the pretty girls don't get everything. And then just went nuts. They just put pen to paper and just fucking went for it, man. And, well, they got there. They got somewhere. They ended up in a spot. And I'll tell you that right now. Modelland is the craziest book I've ever read. And I want to tell you that I've read some pretty crazy books. I've read a book called The Menstruating Mall, about a living mall, and I don't really remember everything that happened, but a guy turns into a sort of mutant grasshopper man, and that's the happy ending, I suppose. I have a picture book at home by the same author called The Fackiest Vampire, and it's about a vampire who enters a mustache contest every year, but he's jealous of another vampire who's quote-unquote faggier than he is. And, you know, classic kids' book kind of stuff. I'm not a stranger to unusual books, and in fact, most times, if you could basically walk into a bookstore, pull the weirdest book off the shelf, I'll give it a few pages. And I'm even willing to sacrifice some of, you know, the prose quality or whatever to read something real crazy. Like, if something is going to make me stop and say, oh my god, that's crazy, I'm interested. I'm into it. And Modelland still doesn't really work for me in any of those respects, because it is that crazy, but it's so long. And also, It's not consistent. Like, here's what's weird. No one can accuse Tyra of being uncreative. I'm going to say that right now. It's one of these books that has a problem where it's like a kitchen sink thing. You know, every idea that Tyra Banks has had in her mind of what a book could have in it is in this book. It's fucking in there, man. Big time. Now, you know, they tell you, like, don't hold anything back. Just fucking write the book and put it all into your first book. Don't save it for your second book, because there might not be a second book. And I think she took that advice to heart. I think Tyra, someone told her that, and she's like, okay. But the problem is, when you do that, it's this whole thing where then you've got a book that she starts all these threads that just unspool and then don't go anywhere. You know, in the first chapter, we'll just talk about chapter one a little bit, because I talked about the intro, but not chapter one. The first chapter, I think, has probably half a dozen different weird acronyms that she's made up, like TDOD, which is the Day of Discovery. It's got what she calls her notebook is T-mail jail, because, I'm not really sure where the T comes from. Oh, because her name is... Okay, so the main character is Tookie de la Creme. So the T comes from Tookie. The mail is because what she writes in there is unsent letters. I think she ripped that idea off from old Pete. And then jail, I'm not really sure. I'm not sure why it's jail. But she does point out that that makes the initials of that, TMJ, which is also a condition, you know, that affects the jaw, and that sometimes she has trouble talking about her feelings and stuff. And so it's like ironic, I think that was her word, ironic that it's called TMJ and no one hears these, like, they're unexpressed. And I wouldn't call that ironic so much as a thing that she made up in the book and that happened. It's like, yeah, if you put that in there, I think in order to buy this whole thing, you have to buy that it's just a happy coincidence, and I ain't buying it. I feel pretty strongly the author's hand in this story, and I feel pretty strongly the Tyra in the story. So it's hard for me to ignore that and just sort of step off and say, like, oh, that, what a coincidence, or what a clever young lady. I just feel like, yeah, no fucking shit. You came up with this thing, and you want everything to be an acronym. I don't know who decided this, by the way, but I've decided that if you're at a workplace and you're ever working on anything and people are suggesting acronyms or ways to use acronyms, that conversation has died. It's dead in the water. The reason I say that, once you're trying to change what you're doing, what you're working on to fit an acronym, like, what the hell's the point? Just do the thing you're doing and call it what it is. It doesn't have to be a cute thing. Not everything's got to be cute. And something's got to be cute, and it's because they wouldn't survive otherwise. Why are these, like, stupid little dog breeds that are all got hip dysplasia and they're all screwed up? What's their survival mechanism? They're adorable. And if your group is just like, let's be adorable on this document, it's like, maybe we should just make it a thing that works and call it the thing that it is. Anyway, so she's got a bunch of acronyms that don't need to be acronyms, by the way. Also, they weren't even good acronyms. Like, I felt, okay, Day of Discovery, I would call that Double D. That's much better. Right? That sounds like something, not T-Dod. And you don't put words like the and of in your acronym unless you're just desperate. And T-Dod isn't even a thing. It's not like, oh yeah, T-Dod. You know, like we all say all the time, T-Dod. T-Dod. T-Da would be better. Not T-Dod. T-Dod. So here's what happens. We're also introduced to a couple characters in the first chapter. We're introduced to Miracle. Now, I know what you're thinking. Insane Clown Posse song. That's what I thought too. You know, fucking magnets. They're awesome. No one cares how they work. I always wonder, you know, I can't really scientifically explain how magnets work, honestly. Like, I don't think I could wrap my mind around it, because the smaller you break this stuff down, like when you break down an atom and they're like, oh, well, it's got a negative charge because of this, so that causes this. I'm like, yeah, but how does it have a negative charge? And it's like, oh, because the electrons and the protons. And I'm like, yeah, but why? How? How does that happen? Like, I cannot get it down. The more I break it down, the equally confused I am. I am tired, you guys. In case you can't tell, I'm very tired. I don't know anything about anything is the shorty. All the shorties version of this. Okay, I'm back. So we've got Tyra, we've got Miracle, her sister, spelled M-Y-R-R-A-C-L-E, I believe. So, Y instead of an I and a double R. Now, this is an interesting thing in this, is that the people in this book all have crazy names. But on the other hand, I don't really know a lot of people named things like Tyra. Or if you're talking, I don't think I know anyone named Tyra except for Tyra Banks. I don't know anyone named Giselle. Like, a lot of these model names, I guess, are pretty fucking weird. So it wouldn't be that unusual for the book Modelland to have model names. However, we're also introduced to her nemesis, which I believe is Zarpressa Zarino. And we also have her, and if anyone's keeping track, I would tell you the initials are double Z's, as in Z, as in boring. Okay? Tyra hasn't said that yet. So I'm going to be disappointed if we don't find that out. It just feels like every name with her and every character and everything is like this weird game of Boggle. You know, where you're like, oh, did you know? It's like that thing that, oh, you can't spell diet without die. And it's like, yeah, I don't think that really means anything. I don't know. There are a lot of things you can't... Oh, you can't spell human without man. You can't spell this without that. It's like, eh. Yeah, sure. I don't know. You can't spell anything without a lot of things. You can't spell stop without S-top. Think about that. Think about that. Top. It's like your top priority. That's why it's S. No. It's just, they're fucking just stupid words. They're just dumb words that some idiot made up that just sound like things, and then some other idiot had to say, like, oh, God, well, how do I put this on a piece of paper? And they just went fucking insane and said, like, yeah, let's put some extra letters here. Ooh, I like, what is this? Let's do a sideways crossy X thing. That's a fucking rad-looking letter. I don't think we'll ever get to use that. Z? This doesn't work for anything. I almost feel like some, whoever made the alphabet saw briefly in the future, saw that, like, no word starts with X, and then laughed their ass off, because they're like, every one of these things that go around the, perimeter of an elementary classroom, you know, with the letters on it, and it's got, like, A is an apple, B is a fucking, breast pump, or whatever. They were like, oh, X doesn't have any, they're gonna have to do X-ray, which is fucking cheating, right? We all know that's cheating, don't we? X is for X-ray. Okay. Well, Z is for Z-ray then, right? That makes just as much sense. How about xenophobe for X? Xeno warrior princess. That's what I would put up there. I would cut her out, put her up there, and be like, I know that you guys don't know this show because you're like five. I know that, really, I shouldn't even care about this show because it wasn't that good. I mean, talking about it is a lot more fun than watching it. You know, it had semi-nudity, which was nice. But that's about it. Jeez, where was the days of slash fiction when that was around, huh? That had to be, like, one of the top... I'm sure they're still out there, but that would have been fucking... That had to be a number one priority, if that was a thing. Just like, oh yeah, we need some slash about this shit. Get on it. So, so Zarpressa, that's her enemy. And her love interest, I believe, is Theophilus Lovelaces? I'm not sure about the Lovelaces. So here's what happened. Basically, the first chapter is Tyra / Tookie. And by the way, Tookie describes herself as a forget-a-girl. This is some more of her great vocabulary. Because she's very forgettable. According to her, like, no one even sees she's there. She's literally invisible to people. You know, someone almost hits her in the head with a field hockey stick in a second. And doesn't even know it. You know, they're just swinging a field hockey stick or whatever. I don't know. And they hit a button off her. And they don't even notice she's sitting there. That's how invisible she is. She describes herself physically as basically what I assume Tyra was at, like, age 16, 17. And, you know, kind of focuses on the bad qualities, I guess. It's an interesting, if very flawed, look into what does a supermodel see as when she looks in the mirror. And here's what's really interesting about it to me. She sees a lot of flaws. And she probably feels a certain way about them, that anyone, you know, anyone's entitled to feel however they want about themselves, right? The part that I sort of, like, balk at or cringe about is, like, she's kind of cataloging her imperfections, and basically here's what she's got. She's got a tall forehead. Her eyes are two different colors, you know, both good colors. One is a stunning yellow eye, right? So it's like the kind of thing. It's the kind of thing I could totally see a fashion photographer be like, oh, that's stunning. And, or no, I'm sorry. I could see a fashion photographer be like, hey, that's real stunning there. See, I don't want to do a stereotypical photographer voice. And, the other thing is she's got, you know, curly, wild hair. She has Tyra Banks's hair, which is black people hair, right? Okay. And that's it. That's it. So here's the thing is, like, we've all seen Tyra Banks. We all know that she was one of the more famous supermodels of all time forever. Amen. And it's a little difficult to sort of, I think, imagine her as, like, to imagine the personification of her, but with one different color eye, at age 17, at which point in her life she was in Paris modeling, and to really, like, identify with her as a, yeah, it's hard out here for a pimp. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you hear that description, when you read that description, and you see Tyra's picture on the inside, you're like, I don't know, I think that the world, as much as the world can sort of all acknowledge that someone is attractive, they've acknowledged that you're attractive, right? Like, as much as that can happen, it happened to you and for you. So, trying to identify with us on the level of, like, hey, we all got our foibles and our physical flaws, like, I just think that's a foolish way to try and identify with us. And also, it's like this thing, this is like a thing from comedies. They always do this in a comedy, or, I don't know, Starship Troopers is the perfect example, right? You've got these two ladies who the main character is, like, sort of romance triangling with. And you've got one girl who's, like, uptight and not fun. And that's the one that I think you're supposed to think is more attractive somehow. And then the other lady is fun and, you know, a mixture of, she's like a real person-ish. Then, you know, she, like, wants to do the things that the guy wants to do and, like, wants to go out and hang with the boys and drink with the boys and do all this shit. But, you know, she's just more fun and she's, like, actually funny and she has a sense of humor and she doesn't have a stick up her ass, right? And so you're, like, watching this movie and all you can think is, like, why are you messing around with this other girl? Like, she's, I don't know, she's not significantly more attractive, that's for sure. They're both very beautiful. This lady really likes you, clearly. Like, she's throwing herself at you, while the other is not, doesn't seem so hot on you, to be honest. I mean, she seems like she'll accept your advances. And that's kind of the extent of her, like, love. She won't physically repel you. And then, and she's just fun. She's like your friend, and she's really attractive. Possibly more attractive than the other lady. What's going on? Why are you into this other lady? Like, it's never explained, and it's an obvious choice. So as a viewer, you're sitting there going, like, you're fucking dumb. Do you know how fucking dumb you are right now that you're just doing it this way? Like, you're fucking really dumb. See, I don't know. You watch it, and that's what's happening. And this is, like, the kind of thing that Tyra is setting up in her book, right? Like, obviously, this main character we're supposed to think is, like, cool, and we're supposed to identify with her, and she's, like, beautiful, but she doesn't know it, you know? And she's, like, laying in the hallway shooting whipped cream into her mouth and not going to class, and that's, like, but no one notices her. So here's basically what happens. This is, like, the action piece of the first chapter. Her love interest, Theophilus, is running for class president. He's basically perfect. He's, like, you know, champion of the football team or whatever they call that guy. And he's class president, and he's handsome and whatever, and nice. You know, he's not a dick. He's nice. And he has a button that says, like, vote for me for class president. And he's walking down the street, minding his own business, when he saw a penis laying on a blanket. No. He's walking down the hallway, and he's got a button that says, like, vote for Theophilus or something like that. And it falls off his shirt and onto Tyra's chest. And then the guy playing field hockey, just swinging his stick around in the hallway, apparently hits it off her chest, and it goes flying down the hall. And she goes on, like, a real, what's that show with the crate, that, you know, a Yakety Sax themed sort of chase, like, and she's running around. It's going down the stairs, and goes down another flight of stairs, and someone hits it with their high heel, and it goes shooting across the room, and then another guy kicks it with his combat boots and shit, and it goes flying into a garbage can. And finally, she fishes it out of the garbage can, and between the crunchings and the shootings around and the warping of the button now says T-O-O-K-E, where it formerly said vote for Theo or something like that. I think it was vote for Theo, something very close to that. Here's the point. It says T-O-O-K-E, which she takes as a sign. Now, she's writing, Tyra Banks is writing a book in which we have mystical gems that come out of water taps. What she couldn't do was make a fucking button get warped so it actually spelled the main character's name. Like, it spells T-O-O-K-E instead of T-O-O-K-I-E, right? Because I guess that would be stretching believability. That would be the point where people threw their hands up and said, okay, fuck this shit. I can't. I cannot hang with this story anymore. You've gone too far, Tyra. I don't know why she thinks that's the point of no return, but she thinks that's the point of no return. She does not like having it be T-O-O-K-I-E. She does T-O-O-K-E. Now, Tookie takes this as some kind of sign. Also, the words that were originally on the button don't contain the letters needed to spell T-O-O-K-E. Specifically, there's no K. Some other letter is sort of smudged and warped into a K from a different letter. So the required letters aren't even if I'm to believe this insane button thing that happened, this crazy coincidence that's so bizarre, why wouldn't Tyra just make whatever was on the button contain the necessary letters? You know? Mistook he for B. I don't know. Something. How hard would it be? All you need is a T-O-O-K and an I-E. How many words have I-E in them, by the way? And what are the odds of some other letter turning into a K versus an I? An I could just be a fucking line. It doesn't even have to be a dotted I. It could just be a line, Tyra. My God. And this is kind of what I hate about this book, right? Like, these crazy things happen, but they seem so ill-conceived. Like, they didn't even really think it through. She just kind of said, like, here's what I want to have happen. But how much time would it have taken to just say, okay, well, what words could I have originally on this button that could then be slightly warped to read something else? And then to figure out a phrase you could put on there that could then change slightly and become this. How much time would that take? How much effort would that take? How much work would that be? You could just Google words that have T-O-O-K and then I-E in them. You know what I mean? Or like combinations, or cookie, or hooky, or, you know what I mean? How many fucking, how hard is that? There's got to be an internet boggle machine that does this for you. Oh my God. Just type in the letters. Just make a boggle thing and be like, hey, how many words can you come up? And then just put those letters in there. That's all you need. And that's sort of like that's the first chapter, basically. We're introduced to the sister who hates Tyra and says something about, she sings some little song about how they don't share the same DNA, which seems like a really weird slam on your sister. Because it's like, actually, that's the one thing you can't say about your sister to hurt her feelings that's not true. You can say a million things about your sister to hurt her feelings that are true, and that one's not. So, good burn. That's our introduction to Miracle. And just in case we didn't know how the parents feel about that child as opposed to Tookie. And then we meet, you know, Zarpressa, and basically she just says something bitchy. And Theophilus, who is a kind-hearted, nice, wonderful, perfect, rich guy who doesn't seem to evaluate the quality of his friends at all. He is like the equivalent of in the movie where the girl is dating the jock asshole quarterback who beats up the nerd that we're rooting for in the beginning of the movie. And nobody ever says, like, hey, how come they, what got those two together? Because, boy, they don't seem to have very much in common. Like, I don't know. She seems all right and attractive and, like, she has interests and she's nice. And he's, like, a real dick. And that seems to be his only thing, is that he's a dick. And he has, I guess he has nice sweaters. Maybe that's, like, a main quality for some. I don't know. That's what you get in the first chapter of this book, though. You get that kind of introduction and that infuriating thing. You also find out a little bit about Smizes, but we're going to go over that later. Those are like little jewels. Think of those as the golden ticket in Willy Wonka. That's all we have for today. I am fucking exhausted right now, and I got to get up early and move tomorrow. I got to make like a tookie and move-gee. You can see why I'm ending this show. But we have a lot more Model Land to cover. We've got Smizes. We've got the unfortunate loss of her father's eye. That is one of the weirdest attempts at who's that guy who wrote the story about the comb? And then the lady shaves her head somehow and the comb is worthless. Well, that thing. Gift of the Magi, is that what that's called? I don't even fucking know. Some baldy gets a comb, and they all have a good laugh. I always thought that story was dumb, because it's like she gets this comb, but she's cut off her beautiful hair. But it's like, I mean, her hair will grow back. Just fucking wait a year. You're going to be together. You're in love forever. Also, you guys just, you know, because he also receives a gift from her that, you know, he gave up his good thing in order to get her gift, right? Like, they're going to be together forever. I don't know. They just did this great demonstration of love, and I think you're supposed to read the story and feel a little bit like, my God, what? Isn't that terrible irony? But you're like, I don't know, man. I think that the gesture means a lot in this case. I'm not one to say it's the thought that counts, but these guys thought really hard, so in this case, I'm in. The thought counted. The thought counted this time because they actually fucking thought about it. They didn't just go crazy. Anyway, we've got a real gift of the lost eye situation. We've got, the trip to Model Land completed in what I remember describing as gossamer ball sack that fills with semen. We've got thigh-high boot camp coming up. And I assume a lot more craziness that has yet to be explored by myself. You know, a lot of this pretty soon will be in uncharted territory. And we'll have to figure out where to go from there. So tune in and read up on the site. I think we'll probably do a mixture of audio and radio. And I'm going to try and do each one, you know, centered around an event or a theme or something about the book so that you could read each piece individually. Like, I don't want people to have read the whole thing or remember the plot, really, because I don't think that's going to be realistic. It's just too crazy. So I'm going to try and make each thing sort of stand alone or catch people up to speed or something. I don't know. Oh my God, this is embarrassing. I'm like boring myself, but I'm not bored. I'm just tired, you guys. My soul is tired. My soul to squeeze. My soul's been squozed and now I just want to die. But soon I'll be moved and then I'll, clean up my new place and I'll be settled. And then I'll just go back to being the same amount of busy. Just got to get through the next few days. Gonna eat a pizza tonight, and then I'll feel better. Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe that'll just ruin everything. Maybe I'm screwed. Maybe this is the last of me. Well, this is the last of me. Thanks for listening. If it's not, see you next time. And thanks to those who donated, by the way. If you weren't someone who donated, feel free to thank someone who did. I think we had Jamie, Ian, Alan, Cassie, Alec. And that might be it. That might be the entirety of everyone who donated. So if you didn't donate, but you like hearing about Model Land, thank one of those fuckers. And next time you got a chance to donate something for me, fucking do it. Quit being such a laze. Just as a other thing, other podcasts, other things. Every podcast isn't going to be a Model Land show. Got other things in the works. I have 50 questions to answer for every Christian man. I've got a... I'm hoping to get Poon Master Flex to join me and counsel me on my careers, my career possibilities. We are going to have a different thing. We're going to have a show. I'm going to read part of what I've been working on, a book, like a real book, not one about Ninja Boys. And I do also have another bullshit book coming called Skeleton Army for fans of Army of Darkness who had a lot of questions about how does a skeleton army work, how do they cough when they have no lungs. And, you know, what really prompted this story of Skeleton Army? In Army of Darkness, there's this army. They're just animatronic skeletons, you know what I mean? Or whatever, skeletons on wires running around. No flesh, no bones, whatever. And as they're digging each other up, this group of Skeleton Army guys comes through the graveyard. And they've got this girl in chains, and, you know, they're taking her somewhere. And this guy goes, "We got plans for you, girly girl." And by guy, I mean skeleton. And I thought about that, and I was like, wait a minute. What plans do you have for her? You are a skeleton. Now, we don't need to get too gross, but you don't even have a penis. It seemed to be implied, like, the girl was, I think, topless or semi-topless. You could see her nipple. It seemed to imply sex plans. And I'm real curious as to what exactly those plans were. Like, "We got plans for you, girly girl." And then he would get her there and be like, "Actually, we don't have any fucking plans. We made a big mistake." Apologize for the inconvenience. I don't know. Maybe their plan is just to stab her with a sword. And then be like, oh, no. We are not this is not sexual. This is just your simple sword stabbing, ma'am. Okay, no, let's not get it twisted. This is just a stabbing. Captain Stabbing of the 1st Skeleton Regiment. So anyway, I got a story on that. Hoping to finish the Contra Worlds of Power with Bill and Lance and the kid who just got blew up. But that's kind of like a back burner project. I hope it's not too early to announce this, but we also have a... my brother and I are working on a project of video game writing, where we write about video games, which I know everyone does, but it's fun, and fuck it. Everyone does it, but we have some stuff to say. We've got some ideas. I've been playing Castlevania, and it's fucking impossible, and it makes me want to cry. And I was basically being seduced the other night, and... didn't even notice because I was so frustrated playing Castlevania. So there you go. The kind of event that would make a 13-year-old Pete come into the future and punch 31-year-old Pete in the eye as hard as he could. Which I don't know if it was very hard. I was a weakling. But nevertheless, my anger would help. Would assist my fist. Assist a fist. You know, the Greek guy who was rolling a stone up a hill and was always assisting a punch? Assist a fist. Okay. We're done, right? Like, that's more than enough. We've done more than enough. Thank you, guys, and we'll see you next time.